Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Here comes the ball. The lob.
Hello? Hello?
Yo.
Yo, hey, I just called in.
Okay. Alright. Do you want to go on both? You can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Holy shit. God.
How's everything going?
Good. How are you?
Sunday nights are like my least favorite of the week just because work is coming up and yeah.
Right. Yeah, I had today off. That was good.
But yeah. Are you still working like 6 days a week?
Yeah, I usually work like 6 days a week.
Jesus.
But I'm off next weekend entirely, so that's good.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I usually work 12 out of 14. That's usually how we work. So we do like 12 days and then have a weekend. Yeah. But today, last week was, because it was an odd number of weeks or something. So I had today off and then next weekend I have off. But yeah. That's good.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's try to make this pretty short. I know it's late for you.
Yeah.
And they're tired.
We can leave Twitter questions right now. Our feelers for Twitter questions. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I mean I was thinking like last weekend of doing like a Jimmy Butler thing,
mm-hmm.
but and there's no and we could mention it briefly, but like I don't think that's happening anytime soon, and I really don't think the Clippers are going to make a move at this point.
Yeah, me neither. But I figured I'd mention it since it was last weekend. It was all the rage.
Yeah, we should talk about it. But yeah, I mean, I think we can just do, you know, how do they look, you know, rotation questions. And yeah, I think that's fine. Hopefully we get this done quick.
Yeah.
And I just posted Twitter questions. So, we'll maybe just take like two or three if we get any good ones.
Yeah. Sounds good. We can start. Okay. I'm going to start it. What's up, everyone? It's the Love the Jam, the podcast. And I'm here, as always. Rob is also here. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. It's been a while. Feels like we haven't talked about Clipper basketball for a while, but not too much has been going on until about a week ago when there were some good trade rumors. But now it's preseason basketball, so things will be going on for quite a few months. And the Clippers are back, and they won their first preseason game. They played the Sydney Kings, and they won 110-91. It was a pretty good showing. The Clippers played pretty well. I felt like they showed a kind of a glimpse of their possible regular season rotation. Maybe they won't go – I think they went about 10 deep today, and feels like they could possibly do something along those lines in the regular season. How did you feel about this game today, Rob?
It was really interesting. I mean, I was kind of surprised that Doc went with, like you said, a regular season rotation. He played 10 guys basically outside of Juwan Evans, got like 4 seconds at the end of the first half, and then four other guys got, you know, the last minute and a half when the game was over. But he basically went with a 10-man rotation, and he even put the starters back in the fourth quarter when the Kings got close again. So it was like a real game. Like it seemed like they were really trying to win. And I actually kind of like that, because the preseason is about finding out, you know, it's about getting data on your team and figuring out rotations. And the way to do that is through playing your actual lineups and minutes. So I actually like that. Were you okay with that? And were you surprised with who was actually in the rotation?
Oh, yeah, I liked it. I'd like to know what our regular rotation is going to be, especially considering how crowded our backcourt is. And for the most part, it was just like I thought it would be. You know, Bradley maybe getting a few more minutes than I would like him to get. Pat Beverly, and of course, Shea and Lou with Jerome Robinson, you know, Ty Wallace kind of getting the short end of the stick. But, I mean, that's okay. And nothing too surprising. You know, maybe I was expecting a little more three guard more than anything. Mike Scott got quite a few minutes today, which was fine. We got an idea of how he plays, which is really just catch the ball and look straight at the basket, but that's fine. It was nice to see Luke playing out there again. But the rotation wasn't terribly unpredictable. I think the biggest kind of surprise is that there was less three-man guard rotations. Maybe we could have got Jerome some minutes that way, or even Ty Wallace some minutes that way. And I do expect Doc to utilize some three guard, but really it was a lot of just two guards, either Shea and Lou or Beverly and Bradley, or maybe some mix between Beverly and Shea every once in a while and things like that, and Beverly and Lou. But nothing terribly surprising. It was really nice to see Beverly out there, particularly just the usual grit and grind stuff he usually brings in, all his intensity and tenacity. It really feels like it's very, you know, ever flowing into the Clippers, and it was a nice kick in the arm that they needed. Aside from that, I mean, there wasn't much to say. Tobias played well. Gallinari played pretty well. The team as a whole played well. Bradley still couldn't find his jumper, which, you know, I'm not particularly expecting him to catch the world on fire like he used to, or even just be a decent shooter. He just, I don't know, feels like a work in progress. Maybe he'll get there again, being semi-efficient, taking smarter shots. But aside from that, you know, everybody was kind of how you expected. Shea played well. Sometimes you could kind of feel that he was a rookie out there, but for the most part, he was still using those same smarts that we saw in the summer league, and he put up a pretty good line with 10-4-4, with the second four being steals. I thought he played pretty well. Luke is still kind of concerning around the rim. I feel like it was a running theme with the Rockets that after he dislocated his shoulder a couple of times last year, and his touch around the rim was a bit more hesitant and a bit more guarded, and it felt like I saw some of that today. I'm kind of worried that that could be a thing, but aside from that, really just saw the things that I liked from everybody. Marcin Gortat looked particularly competent today. Nothing spectacular, mm-hmm. but just a competent center, which was nice to see. What jumped out to you today?
I think you touched on a lot of it. I think the biggest thing for me was probably the two guys who were injured the most last year and who would have changed last year the most, which was Gallinari and Pat Beverly. Mm-hmm. I think you already mentioned how good Pat Beverly looked. He was everywhere. He had a dunk in transition. Mm-hmm. Really looked like he was not wary of landing on that knee at all. He was diving on the floor. It was really great to see. But I actually thought Gallinari might have been the most impressive player on the Clippers. Mm. I thought he did not force anything on offense. He looked very good defensively. I mean, yes, it's the Sydney Kings, and they had, like, one guy on their team who's, like, an NBA-level offensive player.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was staying in front of guys. He was switching pretty well. He even had a couple nice stands around the basket when he was playing some interior defense.
Mm-hmm.
Made some very nice passes. And
I
just thought he looked really, really good. I mean, this is the Gallinari that they signed for, you know, $3 years, $60 million, which, remember, it was just over a year ago. But while there was some worry about him being injured and that being, like, a little long, most people thought that was a perfectly fine deal when he signed it. And it's because when he's healthy, he's good. And he looked healthy. He was moving well. It was great to see him. And, I mean, Tobias Harris looked very good. I really liked that he was hitting the boards hard. I have a season preview for him going up tomorrow. And one of the things I mentioned he needs to improve on is rebounding. He had 11. He was really going after the glass. And he had 5 assists. You know, he's never going to be the world's greatest passer, but he had his head up a little bit more frequently. And he just made some really nice reads. I thought the two of them looked very, very good. And, you know, overall, and I think the Clippers did play – fairly well considering it was their first preseason game. The score was close most of the time, but that's really just because they kept bricking all their threes. Particularly mm-hmm. Lou and Bradley were very off tonight shooting. So I wasn't too worried about that. Even if they'd lost, I mean, it would have looked bad, but you know, it was an off night shooting, so I don't think it's that big a deal. I am, you know, it is one game, it's the preseason. Avery Bradley still does not look great to me. I thought he was moving around okay, but I just don't know about his fit with this team, especially with Beverly in the backcourt. I just feel like they're gonna be undersized a lot, and Beverly is an underrated playmaker and passer, but he's still not, you know, an elite at that level, and Bradley is below average for starting shooting guard in terms of those things. So I'm still a little iffy on them, but I mean, I think you're right. Gortat looked quite good. And this, to be fair, this was a very good opponent for him. You know, he's going up against mm-hmm. Andrew Bogut yeah. and then other Australian centers. Like, these are not guys who will drag him out to the perimeter, run endless pick
right.
and rolls. And,
right.
you know, it was a very good situation for him. But I thought he was also moving well. He had some nice rebounds. He was active on the offensive glass. You know, he had that little pick and pop, you know, from 15 feet that he's actually, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a great option, but he's solid at it. And it's legit something he offers that DeAndre Jordan didn't. And I wouldn't say the spacing will be much improved because of that, but, you know, it's a nice little weapon. So, generally, I thought the Clippers played pretty well. You know, I think I do have a couple issues, I guess, about the rotation, which kind of the Avery Bradley stuff touched on. But was there anybody who you wanted to see get minutes who didn't get minutes?
I mean, I'd love to see Jerome Robinson get some minutes. I don't know how exactly we'll create the minutes for him. If we could get some three guard, that would be nice. I don't know. I'm not sure if you know, honestly, they would have been fine to try some three guard against this team. They weren't really lighting the world on fire, and their best player is undersized, their best offensive player at least. So it would have been nice to see a little bit of three guard to maybe either use Jerome or Ty Wallace a little bit. I mean, I think the gripe will always be that, you know, we have so many competent guards and we don't have enough minutes for them. And I think Avery Bradley is just, I know he's a good player and he's a proven player. He's a Doc likes him. I wish we just never signed Bradley. It just feels like he's just unnecessary. Maybe he'll warm up to me later on. And it's unfortunate because I really liked him when he was in Boston. But right now, I mean, that's my biggest gripe. Aside from that, you know, Gortat and Harrow kind of splitting the center minutes is totally fine. Tobias and Gallinari and possibly Luke getting the majority of the minutes at forward with a touch of Mike Scott is also fine. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how much three guard Doc utilizes because, you know, I did want to see a little bit of Wallace, a little bit of Robinson, a little bit more of them at least. That's my biggest gripe. Aside from that, I think the forwards and the centers, that's perfectly fine. You know, what was your biggest gripe?
I mean, I think, you know, I actually said that I liked that Doc went for like a regular season rotation, and I do, but it's just they don't have many games in preseason, and they have to cut or trade two guys to get down to 15. Mm-hmm. And I was really hoping we'd see some clarity regarding that whole bottom of the roster situation.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight we really got none. I don't have a gripe with that. It's when you're covering the team, it's better to know these things. And we really can't say for sure. I mean, I think the fact that Juwan Cindarius did not get any real minutes is, you know, not a great sign for them. But again, I mean, when you just look at who Doc played, I mean, I don't know who they play over. I think there's an argument that Cindarius could get minutes over Mike Scott and shift Luke to the four. But that really would hamper the spacing. If you have Shea, Cindarius, and Luke out there, you know, all those guys can shoot, but they're not really great shooters. That would put a lot of the shooting burden on Lou Williams. So, you know, I didn't disagree with any of those guys getting minutes. It's kind of a little frustrating. We don't know any more about that. You know, I was not surprised that, for example, like Desi Rodriguez or Angel Delgado didn't get minutes. I'm sure at some point they're going to get some run. But Rodriguez was just a training camp sign. And, you know, Delgado's a two-way guy who I'm not sure if he really has that much NBA upside. I think one possibility could be, I don't know if Juwan slash his agent would be up for this, but I think there is a possibility, for example, if they cut him and, you know, somebody else, I think they might try to work something out where they cut Delgado as their two-way and then sign Evans to a two-way deal. They would be able to do that, and, you know, it does keep him in the organization, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, he might be able to get an NBA deal somewhere else, or he might just want more money overseas, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think things looked great for him. You know, Shea getting the minutes was really nice to see, and he played well.
Yeah.
But him being over Juwan, who has a year of NBA experience, and Ty Wallace, who could also play point guard, not, like, great signs for either of them that they couldn't get in the game, especially with Milos out. But, yeah, I mean, I don't really have any gripes. I thought Doc managed the rotations pretty well. You know, I don't want to see minutes too high for all these veterans in preseason. The more they play, the more likely it is one of them gets injured, you know, in a basically pointless preseason game. So guys like, you know, especially Gallinari and Beverly, and even Gortat is an Iron Man, but he's like the oldest guy in the rotation. I mean, I don't want these guys to be playing heavy minutes throughout the preseason. I'm sure they won't, but I do wish we'd seen a little bit more of the young guys. I thought, you know, in the 2 minutes Jerome Robinson played, the two plays he was involved in, he had a nice pass to Boban, and then he had a really nice shot off a curl. So, I mean, he played well for the, you know, 90,
yeah, for a minute.
200 seconds he's in the game. You know, I'm guessing that in the next game he might Doc might switch up the rotations a little bit and give, like, Cindarius or Ty or Wes or all of them rotation minutes at the expense of, say, Luke and Mike Scott. But I don't really know. I can't say for sure. But I don't know. I don't think there's really that much to take away. It's preseason. I mean, it was great to watch them. Oh, I guess, you know, here's a different thing. What did you think of Corey Maggette as Ralph's partner tonight?
Yeah, that was definitely something I wanted to touch. I think Corey did pretty good. He pretty much did play-by-play, color commentary like I expected him to do. I thought he was very comfortable. There were times you could kind of feel maybe some nerves on him, but I felt like he was very competent. He doesn't have that kind of hokey humor that Bruce Bowen / Mike Smith have had in the past few years, but I thought he held himself pretty well. He's very professional. He gave some nice commentary. He referenced Sam Cassell in their playing days. I do like the idea of having a former Clipper as a color guy, even Mike Smith, even though he wasn't like a legendary Clipper or anything, he had clear loyalty to the team. And Bowen did well considering he has none of that to the Clippers, but he did well trying to be, you know, a little bit partial, a little bit show slight favoritism, because, you know, as much as unbiased as we like our commentators to be, it's nice to know that they rep our team. And Ralph absolutely does that. And so did Mike. Mike Smith knew the playbook like the back of his hand, as much as hokey as he was. Like, he knew when plays were coming really well, considering. I'm so excited for Bill Walton to do some games. I am so excited. I loved that tandem back in the day. I love Bill Walton, even when he did the NBC games. I love his humor. I think he's so great. So I'm very excited for that. But I think Maggette is absolutely going to be with the franchise going forward, whether it be doing color commentary or just doing his usual post-game stuff. It is interesting to see if maybe he has a place doing color in the future, even after Ralph retires. How'd you like him?
I thought he was pretty good. I mean, he didn't blow me away, but I don't know if anybody really blows anybody away on like their very first, you know, TV analyst game. I mean, Maggette has stepped in a couple times before, but I mean, this is a little different. I mean, I thought he was good. You know, I actually kind of grew fond of Bruce Bowen towards the end of last year, which I think, well, I know actually makes me somewhat of a rarity because he did not seem popular for Clippers fans. I actually thought he was kind of funny. But I thought Corey did pretty well. You know, he and Ralph have obviously worked together for years. They know each other well. Ralph obviously called him, you know, for however long Maggette was with the Clippers, for like 8-9 years maybe. You know, so they have good chemistry. And again, like you said, you want your announcers to be mostly unbiased, but with a slight tinge of homerism. And I think Maggette got that pretty well. You know, I didn't think there's anything he did that was super great, but it was certainly a pretty good first attempt. And yeah, I mean, I completely agree. We haven't done a pod since the Clippers announced that they were doing this rotating analyst thing with Ralph. I actually really like it.
Me too.
I feel like it didn't really make much sense to hire a full-time guy opposite Ralph just for them to have to get used to a new play-by-play guy again next year. So I think, you know, for the big name people they're bringing in, for Fratello and Hubie Brown and Cheryl Miller to some extent, and obviously Bill Walton, it's like, you know, it'll be fun for them to be alongside Lawler and to do Clippers games, but it's just like a temporary thing for them. But I think for Maggette and Don McLean and even for Ryan Hollins, it's really like an audition. And
yeah,
I thought Maggette did well in his first time. I know a lot of Clippers fans actually like Don McLean. He's definitely super knowledgeable. I just don't know if he has enough character or, you know, if he's interesting enough to really carry a play-by-play role for an entire year, or a color role, I mean. I'm going to be interested to see him and even Hollins with longer stretches. So, yeah, I thought Corey did well. And the game was just – it was great to hear Ralph again. Knowing this is his final season, it was a little bit sad, but – he was really on point tonight, I thought. You know, he sounded excited. He was telling all of his stories, and it was just great. It was great to hear him again. You know, he's probably one of the things that Clippers fans miss most about just watching the Clippers during the summer. I thought it was just a fun game to watch. You know, it's preseason. It's completely meaningless. But I had fun, and, you know, that's really all you can say about it.
Yeah, it was a fun game, and I love McLean, but I think he's perfect as that halftime guy, post-game guy, third-quarter snippets guy. I think making him a full-on color commentary guy, it would take away a lot of what's interesting about him. I love him because he's so blunt. He tells you everything very directly. A whole game of that would get kind of tiring. Halftime and postgame is very perfect for him. Obviously, he's a knowledgeable dude, but it would be nice to kind of keep him in his role, I kind of feel like. Ryan Hollins is terrible on ESPN, so I'm not looking forward to his. He seems really boring. He doesn't have much of a Clippers slant. I guess he was our backup center for a bit when he was terrible, though. He is a UCLA guy, but I don't know. Ryan Hollins doesn't impress me much. Corey Maggette is exciting. Hubie Brown is going to be awesome. I know he's not going to do anything long-term with the Clippers, but he is so much – I love Hubie. But really, I can't wait for Walton. It's going to be so great. And I love Ralph. I'm going to miss him. I'm going to watch – probably all these games, even if they are blowouts or if we lose by a ton, probably watch all of them just to kind of hear Ralph one more season. I can't believe he's going. But I guess, you know, the Lob City era was his last hurrah for some glory. And now that we're rebuilding again in a way, it would be tough to stick around. So it was nice to see Sweet Joe at the game too. Happy birthday, Sweet Joe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to hear. Yep. Aside from that, did you have any other thoughts of the game? Maybe, you know, seeing Andrew Bogut again, or that guy, the Randall kid, pretty good.
Jerome Randall. Yeah.
Aside from that,
Randall,
I don't know
one of those guys who's he's one of those fun guys. I don't know too much about him. I've heard his name, you know, a bit before. I just, when I saw people were talking about him, was doing some research and it was like, oh, he was one of the leading scorers. Actually, I think he might have been the leading scorer in the Australian League last year, the NBL. And he's been all over the place. He's played in like 10 different countries for all these leagues. And he was the finals MVP of like the Lithuanian League a few years ago. He's played in Turkey. He's been all over the place. He's really a classic, very good overseas player who, for a couple reasons, just couldn't quite cut it as an NBA player. He's very short, and you know, he would have gotten punished on defense in the NBA. I mean, I think he wasn't really targeted tonight because the Clippers don't have those types of players outside of Lou Williams. But you know, in the NBA as it is now, it's very matchup dependent, and he could be switched on to bigger players and it'd just be over. I mean, he's even smaller than Isaiah Thomas, and he doesn't quite have Thomas's scoring abilities around the basket, and I don't think he's as good a passer, but I mean, his handles are incredible. His shot was pretty sweet. It was a lot of fun to watch him play, honestly. You know, he was really keeping them in it for a while, but I mean, I thought they were honestly a pretty good team. You know, obviously most of the guys on there are not NBA talents or even, you know, that close, but they're all pretty good. The Australian League it's not as good as like the Spanish League, or probably like the Turkish or Lithuanian, but it's pretty good. It's probably in like that second tier of overseas league. And I think this is projected to be one of the best teams in that league. So yeah, I mean, Bogut was just on an NBA team last year. You know, he's a bit washed now, but he can still pass. He can still make those little hook shots and play some defense. So I think it was a pretty good challenge. You know, it wasn't as good as an actual NBA team, but you know, it certainly wasn't a joke either. So I thought it was a fine preseason opener, and it'll be fun to see them against a real NBA team on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was a nice tune-up game. I was still terrified that Bogut would injure somebody, especially how Harrell likes to yell at anybody he dunks on. I was like, be careful. Don't yell at Bogut. But Harrell actually ended up hurting his hand a little bit. Hopefully that will have been nothing.
Though.
That's good. All right, perfect. Well, I think that covers the game. I figured we would talk a little bit about this Jimmy Butler madness, where it seemed kind of last week at this time that Butler might be a Clipper, but now it sounds like who knows where he's going to go. Sounds like Tibbs might elongate this a bit too. What do you think about this whole Jimmy Butler saga?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's really a fascinating situation, right? Because Tibbs brought him in, like they're guys, they're buddies, and he soured on them within a year. Wait, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. It froze for
Okay, sorry. I accidentally muted myself, I think.
Okay.
I'll just edit this out.
Yeah,
the Jimmy Butler thing is super interesting, not only just because he's buddies with Tibbs and the situation soured so quickly, but just how everything is played down with this weird dynamic of teams don't know who to talk to, whether to talk to Tibbs, who's the president of basketball operations, or the GM, who's Scott Layden, or the owner, who's Glenn Taylor. And throughout all this, Butler just wants a trade. He doesn't want to be in training camp. He doesn't want to show up. He doesn't want to talk with the Timberwolves. He wants out, but the Timberwolves apparently asking price is so high that teams are refusing to talk with them or just laughing at them. I don't know what their requests are. There have been some rumors, and they seem pretty ludicrous. I don't have any real inside intel on the information, but my reading from the Clippers perspective is they do not want to give up Shea or Jerome or Tobias Harris. And that appears to just be a non-starter for the Timberwolves. And honestly, I don't blame them. You know, if you're going to trade with the Clippers, you'd want one of those guys. I mean, I think you could make a deal work with like Gallinari and Sindarius Thornwell, like a future first and a second, but that's not really a great package. I mean, for Jimmy Butler, it's fine, but it's not really what you'd want to see. So unless the Clippers budge on one of those three guys, which I don't think they will, or the Timberwolves really lessen their demands, I don't think a trade is going to happen. It honestly doesn't look like a trade is happening anytime soon, period, because the Timberwolves just don't appear to be in a rush to trade him. We'll see as the regular season gets closer, every day makes the situation a little weirder and more uncomfortable. So it's possible their demands drop. Also, you know, Butler's a popular – well, I don't know about popular, but, you know, he's a big-name player, and enraging him like this by not trading him, or effectively not trading him by having these ridiculous demands, is not going to look good for the Timberwolves when other free agents and players are considering them. It's like this franchise does not have my best interests in mind, and, you know, they don't do basic things like, you know, give in to my trade demands. So I think sooner or later they're going to have to trade him, and I think, you know, it's probably going to happen before the regular season, but it went from looking like a trade was pretty imminent last weekend to looking like it probably won't happen for a week or two. And at this point, I have no idea where he's going. I think it either is the Timberwolves acquiesce and accept lesser offers, or a team blinks and they give up a little bit more. I don't think it's going to be the Clippers, though. And what do you think? Do you think the Clippers have any real shot at trading for him at this point?
Yeah, I mean, if they lower their trade demands, maybe the Clippers could get them because they have a ton of assets. But at this point, I'm not holding my breath. I kind of think I have no idea where he's going to go, to be honest. I thought the Clippers seemed like a front runner last weekend, and then the Heat became a front runner, and now it's like, who knows? I don't know. I don't really care anymore. I do like Jimmy Butler. I think he's a good player, but I do worry about signing him long term. I think he's 29, but he's more like a Tibbs, you know, 31 or 32. I get worried about any player that's played elongated minutes for Tom Thibodeau, just knowing his track record and how quickly people fall off a cliff after running through walls for him. So I think Butler's a fantastic player. If he could lead us to getting a Kawhi Leonard, obviously you'd do it. But I'm not like, you know, I'm not begging for him particularly. And if we don't get him, that's fine, because he's going to be a free agent next year. He clearly has interest in LA. We'll see if he signs with whatever team he goes to. We'll see if he even goes to one of his preferred destinations. I mean, Kawhi Leonard went to Toronto, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of interesting things factored in here. I mean, I think one, you know, the Clippers traded Blake Griffin 6 months into his extension because they thought he was injury prone and he wasn't quite the same level of player, and they didn't want to be paying him a max contract for 5 years. Jimmy Butler would be 2 years older next summer than Blake Griffin was when he signed his deal. And he hasn't had injuries as serious as Blake's, but he's also never, he's had like one or two actually healthy seasons in his 7 years in the NBA. And even though he came in a little late and he didn't play that many minutes his first year, he did play, you know, three or four seasons with really heavy minutes under Tibbs. And again, you know, he's not that young. So I'm not sure if it's really even in the Clippers' MO to sign him to a five-year max. I do think, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head with Kawhi, whether it's Kawhi or some other star. I mean, I think if Butler's signing would guarantee really raise the likelihood of them getting somebody else, I think that would be a pretty big consideration. But at this point, they can't know that. Butler can't promise anything unless he has, you know, a Miami Heat decision 2010 deal worked out with some other guys, which it doesn't really seem like he does. I mean, there were some rumors about him with Kyrie, but then all this stuff came out about Kyrie being perfectly happy in Boston. I don't know why he'd leave Boston. I mean, they seem perfectly set up to be in the Eastern Conference, you know, in the NBA Finals, really, every year for like the next half decade with the talent they have on their roster. I don't know why he'd leave. You know, maybe he wants his own team again, but I don't see it. I think I would make the deal for him under the right circumstances, but I'd be pretty wary of signing him to a max deal. And,
yeah,
you know, if you trade for him and give up assets and either you let him walk because you don't want to pay him, or you sign him and then it's a Blake Griffin scenario, either way, it looks, you know, doesn't look great. So, you know, I understand the Clippers' hesitancy. I think the locker room stuff is also an issue. You know, they just hired Lee Jenkins, you know, another thing we didn't really get to talk about during our hiatus. But part of the reason they did so was to be able to get better intel on these guys, their personalities, you know, how they are as teammates, just as people. And I imagine they did heavy research into Butler as soon as his name came up in demands and he mentioned the Clippers as a preferred destination. And, I mean, I think one of the reasons perhaps they're not going super hard at him is because the reports they got were not great. Personally, I mean, I don't think he seems like a bad guy, but I think, you know, his story is actually so inspiring in some cases that him going from where he was to being a super wealthy, super famous athlete within just like a few years span, I mean, that's enough to make anybody, you know, maybe chip on the shoulder to the extreme. And that can be uncomfortable for guys to play with. So I think that's also a warning sign. I don't see it happening at this point. But, you know, I've certainly been wrong before, and I don't have any real intel saying the Clippers are out on him. It's just my personal sense. But it's certainly something to keep an eye on, and especially since the Timberwolves are actually the next team, and they're going to be in town on Wednesday, which means Thibodeau and the Wolves brass could be, you know, sitting right across from where Lawrence Frank and Doc and Jerry West are. So it's possible that some sort of meeting happens between them, but yeah, I don't see it happening at this point. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Not particularly. I mean, it's an interesting scenario. It's in flux, but I'm kind of over it at this point. If we get him, it'll be great. I think Butler's a nice player. I think he's an incredible interview. I've heard him on I've heard him on Simmons' podcast. He's a really good soundbite. He seems like a fun personality on the court. He has a lot of, you know, gifts and stuff of doing funny things. But we'll see. You know, I'm not for it or against it particularly at this point. Like you just said, there's plenty of reasons why you wouldn't be excited. You would not be excited to sign him to a max deal, and reasons why, you know, I definitely think that there's appeal for a superstar to come in when they see another star on Tao, so on toe or whatever. So I do think he's interesting in that way. So if he can allure a Kawhi Leonard type or whoever next off season, then he's worth it almost just in that way. So we'll see. I'm not in or against it at this moment particularly. I wasn't particularly excited when it was happening last weekend, to be honest. Like, it was an interesting thing happening in, you know, in August, but or in September rather. But other than that, it was just kind of coming and going. Yeah, we can take some Twitter questions.
Yeah, we only have a couple. I think, you know, most people are probably asleep at this point.
Yeah.
And or just, I don't know how many people are actually watching the game, but we only have two questions here. The first is from my dad, actually, who's asking, would you give up the Gallo we saw tonight in a trade for Butler? Yeah, I mean, I think Gallo.
Yeah.
You know, I think his contract isn't as bad as I think we think it is sometimes. It's just this year, and then it's partially guaranteed next year. It's really not that bad. If he looks as good as he did tonight, I mean, he's a pretty good player. I mean, Butler's still definitely an upgrade, but I mean, I think you have to give up Gallo. You know, even if you guaranteed 70 games of this level of Gallo. Butler's still better. So I think you do that deal. But, you know, again, if you could guarantee that level of health and production, I think the Timberwolves would do it. The problem is that you can't. So, yeah, I mean, that's another area where maybe if he looks healthy and really good a week or two into the season, you know, even if it's not a lot, maybe he becomes a slightly better trade chip. But for right now, you know, I think the Clippers would have to move him for any star or superstar player.
Yeah, I would trade Gallo, no doubt. Yeah.
Not even a
question.
I don't think there's there's not that much else to say about that. And the second question is from Duncan Urquhart. I don't know how you pronounce it. I think that's an Australian name. Do you read anything into the lack of playing time for Jerome? Possible that he could be included in a trade package in the works? I'd hope not. I hope you stand pat this season. I don't think it's indicative of a trade package, because if it was, he wouldn't have played at all. I think it's just Doc is playing his regular rotation. I don't think Jerome Robinson is going to be in the regular rotation. You know, he's just, even though his shooting, I think, will be at an NBA level right from the get-go, I think even in the 2 minutes he was in, he got very stuck on a couple screens and was lacking kind of far behind his man. I just don't know if his defense is NBA ready. And outside of shooting, you know, I think his handle is pretty good, but I don't know if he has the passing or playmaking to really be like an on-ball guard in the NBA yet. So I wouldn't read anything into it outside of the fact that, like, I don't think he's going to be in the Clippers rotation. You know, honestly, I think we might see some of him in Agua Caliente. It depends on what moves the Clippers make to cut their roster down and their health and everything. But, I mean, I think he'd need at least one injury, possibly two, honestly, to make his way really into the rotation.
Yeah, you kind of heard McGetty, or maybe it was Ralph, kind of likening him to J.J. Redick a bit. And while he has better handle than Redick ever had, or probably has even now, you could see him kind of being that kind of role, coming off screens, making smart plays, making a smart pass like he did today, being a kind of a shooting type guard who can maybe put it on the floor, definitely better than JJ did earlier in his career, and make one strong move to the basket. I am curious that if the Clippers do have an injury in their, like you just mentioned, in their rotation, if Ty Wallace gets minutes before Robinson would, or even Sindarius Thornwell. I do think it's indicative that the Clippers won't play him much while the team is healthy, unfortunately. And if he can get reps with Agua Caliente, that'd be great. I just want him to get some minutes. He's clearly a scorer type. Like, he's shown us enough that he clearly has good instincts as far as scoring goes, shooting goes. So it's unfortunate we have so many guards. Another reason why I wouldn't mind a trade with some of these guards, especially you know, Avery Bradley, but that's okay. I think Robinson won't get too many opportunities this season, unfortunately, but he's absolutely in the Clippers' future plans, and he's more of a, you know, more of an exciting player for the future than even, say, any of our previous future aspects were. So I, you know, before last season during the Doc Lob City Clipper era, so he is exciting in that way, that I do think he's more NBA ready than, you know, the dude that the swing player for the Pistons now, whose name I'm forgetting, slipping my mind. Reggie Bullock, Blake Griffin's birthday buddy. But yeah, Reggie Bullock was an exciting player, but I didn't expect him to be even as good as he is now. Robinson, for some reason, I have expectations to at least be a competent six-man type player. So we'll see. I don't think he's going to get that many opportunities this year, as long as the Clippers are healthy.
Yeah, that's it for questions. I mean, I don't think I really have too much else to talk about. It's preseason. I think the Clippers only play one preseason game before next Sunday. We are going to try to get pods up every Sunday. Mm-hmm. Actually, they play two games. They have Timberwolves in Staples on Wednesday, and then they play the Lakers on Saturday, which I'm sure is going to be 95% Lakers fans. But, yeah, I think we'll probably have a pod next Sunday to discuss those two games. I wouldn't expect any trade news. I think if anything, you know, we might get something about them cutting a player, probably I'd still say Evans is the most likely, even though I do think he's an NBA player and I thought he was very fun to watch last year.
I'd
be bummed, but I mean, I think just really because of positions more than anything, he's probably first on the cut list, though I still would not be surprised if they traded Milos somewhere. The Suns remain the most obvious candidate because they don't really have a starting point guard. I could still see that happening as well, but, you know, they need to make two cuts. I wouldn't expect any big news. I mean, again, keep your eye on Jimmy Butler, but, yeah, I don't really have anything else to talk about.
Yeah, I think that's about it. I think that'll do it for this episode of the Lob the Jam, the podcast. As always, for Rob, I'm Shapine. Go Clippers!
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.